Hey, good evening, and welcome to the Uptown Parlay Podcast. Now your host, Ace.
Welcome to the Uptown Parlay Podcast. This week it is Ace and Malik.
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on, Malik?
Nothing much, man. You know, just, hanging in there. Coming off of a difficult time watching our Knicks, you know, lose in the last two games of a grueling series.
Watching everybody get hurt.
Yeah, and I think truth be told, you know, once Brunson went down,
I know it was bad.
That was pretty much a wrap. Because even if you win that game, he's got a broken hand. He wouldn't have played in the next series, so it would have been a wrap. So, and I just, you know, it's bittersweet, you know, because you feel like if you had health on our side, it would have been the outcome would have been better for us. But still, good season. And I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's a Knicks fan, and I basically said to him, I said, you know, it's interesting that, you know, to look at this season as a failure of any sort is kind of weird. When you think about building this team for next year and what needs to happen for next year's team, like whether you want to run it back or you want to, you know, invest heavily in upgrading the roster, I think the thing that people need to remember is that at their best, so meaning everyone healthy, all things firing on all cylinders, the expectation was Eastern Conference Finals. And at their worst, this team, at their worst, meaning at their like their unhealthiest, we came within one game of the best projected solution for this team.
Correct.
Right. So if the projection still is, you know, if next year's team projected still is Eastern Conference Finals, and that's the ceiling for this team, then maybe we need to invest in improving the talent base on this team so that the ceiling is finals and higher, you know, finals and championship level. Because we know, or we expect Giannis to be back next year. We expect the Bucks to be better. We expect, you know, a healthier Joel Embiid and a better version of Tyrese Maxey with another year of experience. We expect Indiana to continue to improve to some degree. And we expect Boston to still be around. So how do you elevate the Knicks to that next level? What do you need to do to maintain, to get them not just to Eastern Conference Finals being it, we need to make another jump. Because this was an Eastern Conference Finals team, even with all the injuries. This should have been a team at Eastern Conference Finals. So that's where my thinking is now. Over the pity party of, thinking about what could have been, and now just thinking about, you know, looking ahead and trying to figure out where what the next phase should be for this team and what I would be satisfied with. But about you?
I'll say this. The fact that they got this close, even with everybody getting hurt, and the fact that they almost had game three, except for a miracle three by Naismith, is just kind of, you know, I don't want to sound too solemn here, but I was kind of happy that they got as far as they did. But more importantly, to the people who are complaining about Indiana not getting enough coverage, nobody lives there. Okay.
Well, Indiana's supposed to be a basketball town. Right?
Nobody lives there. They do love basketball, but nobody lives there. Okay. There's a reason why they don't have a professional hockey team or professional baseball team. Nobody lives there. Teams would rather play in Tampa or Oakland, where people are actively hating their team right now, than be there. But I'd also like to point out that, you know, it's not like Halliburton really rose to the moment. It was genuinely a team effort, but that's, I guess, how they play all year. And their trades at the deadline helped them more because Siakam didn't get hurt and OG did. And I think if you take both of those players off their respective teams, if Siakam's not on that team, not only do they not beat the Knicks. I think the Knicks are playing a hurt Bucks team, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because without him, they really have a glaring hole on their team. And also, we obviously think that they're not good enough to win, but I'm going to focus back on here in the Knicks. Mitchell Robinson's under contract for the next 2 years until 2026. Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo are under contract for the next two seasons. No, next three seasons. And Hart has a team option for 2028. So this idea that you're going to have to pay them because of what they did in the playoffs, actually, no, you don't. So yeah, that's the best part.
Yeah.
So the guys that everybody thinks are going to have to get paid who are coming up soon, not really. It's really Julius Randle, who's eligible for that $181 million extension. So for him, this is a great negotiating tool, but I can't imagine the Knicks are going to sign him to a max deal, considering that they're going to be giving that max deal to Brunson, and Brunson's max is actually going to be lower than Randle's, which is wild to me. But Brunson's going to be signing like a four-year, 160. No, wait, this, I don't know if he's eligible for a Supermax. I don't think he made an All-NBA team.
Well, he'll make it this year.
No, no, they announced it, I believe, didn't they? They announced it on Thursday.
Yeah.
So if he makes the All-NBA team, then he's eligible for a Supermax. And then that puts Knicks in a bind because he's up for a $220 million contract.
Yeah, I don't know if he's eligible to...
He is. Because he has a player option for the year after the next season. But everybody's under contract for next year except OG.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that he's eligible to opt out now. Right?
Nah.
But, yeah. So, we'll see.
But yeah, Hartenstein's a free agent, and I'm kind of, and so is Alec Burks. So they both come off the books. I don't see Burks coming back for more than the mid-level exception, which would actually be more than what he makes now. Huh?
Yeah, I don't think Burks is coming back. I don't think Burks is coming back, but that's not an indictment on Burks. I think that's just more of a, I think there's a space.
They need more size.
I think two things. One, Randle coming back kind of shifts. At least shifts probably Josh Hart to the bench, right? And then if that happens, then obviously you don't need Burks. Burks is not necessary with Josh Hart coming off the bench. Those minutes are not going to be available for Burks. So if I'm Burks, I'm probably going to leave anyway. He had a good run with us, even this year. Like, he had a good run when he was, you know, forced into action. He came up and he came up big. So I think he should be able to command a pretty decent salary in a bench role somewhere.
I see him going to Orlando,
contending team. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a team like that needs offense. Yeah, absolutely.
Hartenstein's the only big free agent that they got to resign, and Miles McBride is literally signed until he turns like 27, which is insane to me.
Yeah, he just signed
like a super cheap price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess he didn't think he's going to be in the NBA long, but. My man, I think McBride, just the way he played with the Knicks, the level of defense that he played, if he can learn to handle the ball a little bit, I'm surprised. I expected him to be a better point guard than what he was, but he got outplayed by TJ McConnell, which kind of shocked me. He didn't hit enough of his open threes, but he'll get better because that's the one matchup that kind of pissed me off, was seeing Thomas John McConnell tear us up in the goddamn playoffs. KPMG and shit.
Even when he was in Milwaukee, he was like sneaky good. Like, he's been a sneaky good player for his entire, for pretty much his whole run, you know.
He was pretty bad with Philly. He was getting lit up with Philadelphia. Playing with Philly. He got played off the court when he was at the second unit.
I vaguely remember him playing on one of those teams and like giving the Knicks like a good 20 something points in a game once, and me being pissed and saying, who the F is this McConnell kid? I don't know who this kid is. And he was lighting us up. Like, he's one that, you know, I think, you know, when it's all said and done, he's going to be, you know, somebody's, you know, he's going to be on, he's going to find his way on championship teams, because he's the type of guy that can always find an opportunity on a team.
Yeah. Well, he's 32. So you better sign with the Lakers soon. I don't know who's going to be on, but I called him a poor man's who's that dude who's with the Bulls, bald white dude. I can't remember his name right now. But he was with the Lakers in 2020 when they won, but then he ended up leaving.
A white dude that was on the Lakers?
Yeah, yeah. He was on the Lakers and now he's on the Bulls. He was
a guard? Caruso.
Caruso, thank you. He's a poor man's Caruso.
Yeah, Caruso, but Caruso is going to be a huge... Somebody's going to be trading for him.
I don't know.
So it's going to be a huge get.
Chicago's got to tear it down. Randall's going to be 30 years old, and I'm not keen on paying a guy who keeps breaking down every year. But also, I want to say this. As a Knicks fan, this kind of reinforces everything I thought about Tibbs. I do not like this man as a coach. I'm not going to give him credit for how well these guys played, because these players are better than the players that got here when he was here, when he was the first year. He stabilized the franchise, and he got us to a point where we could believe in his team. But he ran everybody into the goddamn ground, and I will stand on that. I wasn't happy with him when they hired him as a coach. I was like, whatever, maybe he'll be for a little bit, and maybe it'll get him out of town. But that's what he does, and if they're going to keep letting him coach the team, I do not see this team winning a title with him, because
What evidence do you have for saying he's run his players into the ground? And here's what I mean by that. Okay. Derrick Rose, he tore his ACL.
Because he's overused.
That's not an overuse injury. People tear guys tear their ACLs. We see guys in the NFL tear their ACLs on. Like Emmanuel Moseley tore his ACL on the first play. He tore the other ACL. So he had a torn ACL in his left.
Yes.
Was out for a year. Came back, played one snap with the Lions, tore his other ACL. Okay, so an ACL injury is not the type of player that Derrick Rose was when at his apex. Everyone was talking about the potential for him to have, that type of injury, those types of injuries, because of how he like torqued his body, the amount of torque that he put on his joints. It was always a possibility. So what I'm saying is, like, if we look at right now in today's NBA, look at the playoff, look at the amount of minutes, look at the amount of minutes that the Minnesota Timberwolves players played yesterday.
They rotated nine guys.
If they rotated nine guys, I'm going to take a look at the stats from that game, because I looked at it a little earlier.
Nobody played more than 35 minutes, which would be considered.
That's not true.
Which would be considered rest. That's called a rest day on the Knicks.
That's not true.
Josh Hart played 48 minutes three games in a row.
But what I'm saying is, Anthony Edwards played 44 minutes yesterday. Mike Conley Jr., coming off of a game where he had an ACL problem in game five, missed game five, played game six. He played 38 minutes in game seven.
Yeah.
Jaden McDaniels played 40. Karl-Anthony Towns played 39. Rudy Gobert played 36. Like what I'm saying, they went with an eight-man rotation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yesterday's game and game six and game five, Tibbs was running an eight-man rotation. Yes, he had guys out there playing 40 minutes, 40 plus minutes, but the best players on your team in the playoffs are going to play 40 minutes. It's going to happen.
I hear what you're saying. I would also like to point out, I don't understand why he refused to play Jericho Sims and Hartenstein together when Josh Hart clearly couldn't cover what's his name, but that's whatever. We got what we got. But this is just me being tired of Tibbs' bullshit.
Nikola Jokic, 47 minutes. Yes,
he had to play every minute Jamal of every Murray, game, because they wasn't about to put DeAndre Jordan in that game. I can tell you now.
But this is what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the evidence is across the league, in the playoffs, your best players, your top, your rotate, your rosters shrink.
It's not so much as the playoffs as the regular season.
And in the regular season, and I will be the first to agree with you that. Yes, he trusts his players a little bit too much, and he can get to a point where he, gets his players, plays his players out there a little longer than like. Does Julius Randle need to be out there when the Knicks are up 25 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter? No. That's the only area that I can nitpick. And to me, that's nitpicking against Tibbs, because that's the only area where I can legitimately say, where I can look at this team and say, you know what? This is about time we should get them out. Right. To me,
It's just bad
how
luck.
many minutes. It's not a how many minutes they're playing. It's not the number of minutes that guys are playing. It's the situations that people find themselves in where you're saying, yeah, I don't think we need, like I said, I don't think we need Julius Randle out there. We're up 18, there's 3.5 minutes left. Julius Randle doesn't need to be out there playing. Give him those 3 minutes off.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson has scored 42 and he's played 42 of 42 minutes, and we're up six with, 10 seconds left. Okay, he doesn't need to finish this out. Just do yourself a favor. Find areas of rest for your guys. Pull them out at the end, at the end of the second quarter when there's like a minute and a half left. So you get them that minute and a half, and then halftime minutes. Do those things. I also know, from what I've read, that Tibbs doesn't practice them. They don't practice hard during the season. So that he doesn't, so that they can stay ready for the games. That's one of the things about him as a coach, is they take it lighter on practices because he knows that they're going to tax them in the games. Which that came from that roommates podcast with there's
Yeah,
a podcast with
Villanova
Brunson.
guys.
And so
Art
they were
Brunson
mentioning
and
that there.
DiVincenzo.
Yeah. And they were mentioning that there. So, I think he takes there is criticism that he takes that is fair. I think to some degree some of the criticism is fair. But given this situation, given this circumstances, what they were dealing with in these playoffs and this in these first two rounds, I don't think that. I was having an argument with a guy yesterday about that. And I was like, I've coached, baseball. I've coached baseball. I've coached soccer. I've even done a little bit of rec league basketball coaching, right? And I've talked to people that are coaches, right? And I said to, I was talking to, matter of fact, I was talking to my son's coach during the basketball, during his basketball training today. And I said, look, do you when the third guy on you when the top three guy on your team goes down, do you look to the 10th guy that you've never put in to bring him in and play?
Well,
Or do you just tell the if you just tell the fourth and fifth guy, I need more from you
that's the
because the third
thing.
guy went down?
I didn't understand why Precious wasn't playing to begin with, because he had played down the stretch, and so did Sims because of some of the injuries to Mitchell. So when he didn't put him in the game, what that let me know is, oh, unless we're up by 20 or down by 20, Sims is never going to see the court, even
Right.
though we got nobody to guard Siakam, even though putting a bigger guy on him would neutralize him and put more scoring on everybody else. And
See,
when you're undersized, what are you going to do? Like, you're screwed at that point. So, but we're just not going to play him because we're not going to play him. I'm not saying he's great. I'm saying for defensively, if we can stop them, maybe it'll make it easier. They're shooting 60% from the
and
field.
see, I tend to disagree. I think Tibbs knows what I know is that Siakam is that Sims is just going to get cooked by Siakam just like he's cooking everybody else. Like
Just
it's
like he's thinking
like
hard. All right.
just because he's taller doesn't
Yeah.
mean he's actually good at, again, it's like it's trust, right? It's a trust factor.
Yeah, you don't trust them.
No, I don't. I don't. And neither does Tibbs. And that's why Jericho Sims, that's why as much as I would love, as much as I think that the Knicks would probably love to try to figure out how to keep only one of the two centers on their roster, they don't really have much of a choice because Sims is not ready for, I don't think Sims is ready for an increased role on this team.
Oh, well. If he's not under contract for next season, I don't see him coming back. I see them keeping Achiuwa, who's he has a qualifying offer. So yeah. You know, he actually got drafted by the Heat.
And then traded.
Totally forgot
Yeah,
that.
I remember that.
I remember he came out of college because he was a teammate of number one overall pick, James Wiseman, or number two overall pick, James Wiseman, which now looking back on it seems laughable that the Golden State Warriors had him. Wiseman has a championship ring, and now he's off the team, and he was supposed to be their future. So, to all the haters out there who are like, why is everybody so hype on the Knicks? It's our first really good season in 20 years. Shut the fuck up. That's what I would say. And also,
Well, they had a good
Draymond
run
Green.
last year. We were in the second round of the playoffs last
That's
year.
true. To Draymond Green, you didn't make the playoffs, homeboy. So I don't want to hear it out of you.
Yeah.
I'm tired of you. And also, you're very unlikable on TNT. So there's that as well.
Yeah, it's no surprise that like the day or 2 days after he made his fluke comment about the Knicks, there he was on TNT. You know, he's doing this for clicks.
Oh, I know.
And publicity. So
his whole point was that they're not going to be able to do it again, and they're going to overpay these guys. But they don't have to overpay anybody except the star players, which would be Brunson, Randall, which I can't imagine them paying him until his age 37 season, being as he's, because that would be a 4-year extension on the contract that ends after next season. So that means they'd be paying him from 32 to when he turns 36. I take that back, from 32 to 36.
Well, I'm not paying the guy now? 40.
He's 30.
How is Randall now? Randall's 30.
He turns 30 in November.
Okay.
So he was born in 80. If he was born in 85, that'd be a problem. He's born in 90. He's born in 93. 94. He's born in 94.
Okay.
So he'll be 30 in November. Okay. Yeah. Boston, Indiana. The series price is -900 for Boston, +600 for Indiana. Do you actually think Indiana has a chance to even challenge Boston, considering they beat them to get to the in-season tournaments?
To win the series?
Yeah.
No.
You think they'll win in a game?
I think they could win two games. I think they could absolutely win two games. The two things about Boston that admittedly I've not watched a ton of Boston playoff basketball. I did watch
it's super boring.
I did watch a fair amount of them during the regular season because it's just they happen to come on and you know TNT and I had league pass as well, so I would catch games of them here or there. But the two things that I know to be true about Boston, number one, in the playoffs is they've been, if I remember correctly, they're 15-15 in the playoffs at home over the last two seasons. So they're a 500 basketball team at home. That's number one. And number two, Kristaps Porzingis' injury aside, they tend to be a team that plays down to their level of competition. If they're not inspired to just bludgeon and destroy whatever team that's in front of them.
Yeah.
And the thing I know about Indiana, based on the seven games that we watched from them, but you know, just because I followed Indy, you guys know I like Tyrese Halliburton. I've been a Tyrese Halliburton, you know, fan of his since he came into the league, wanted the Knicks to draft him. But the thing that I know about Indiana from watching Indiana is their style of play does take some getting used to because nobody else plays like they do. So their pace, the way that they play with that kind of just haphazard run and gun style that they deploy.
Yeah, they get the most open threes by playing that way.
And that's going to take, I think they'll get a game off of Boston just because of that, just because Boston has not had to play that type of team yet. And will find themselves chasing and having to adjust. The other thing is Boston is a huge 3-point shooting team. They shoot a lot of threes. So the thing we know about them is if they're hitting their threes, you can't beat them.
Correct.
But if they're not, you can absolutely beat them. So I think this series goes at least five. But I think it's going six. I think it's going six at least. I don't think it'll get to seven. If it gets to seven, that would tell me it's really Indiana's really pressing them, in a way that I did not expect them to.
Okay.
But looks like Porzingis might be back for game three. So
the spread for game one is -10 Boston, which feels like a lot.
Feels like a lot, but also maybe it's because Indy's, you know, figuring Indy's coming off of a 7-game series and Boston's been rested, you know?
Correct. And I would say I think that Drew Holiday will be able to defend Halliburton better than we think. And also, They're not going to be able to pressure them the same way they were able to pressure the Knicks because they have more than one ball handler. So if they want to take it out of Holiday's hands from bringing it up, they'll give it to Derek White. They want to take it out of his hands, they'll give it to Jaylen Brown. They want to take it out of his hands, they'll give it to Tatum. They have four guys who can bring the ball up, so it's a little bit different than how they're going to have to play the Knicks because you can't pressure everybody. Right. And that's the main thing that I noticed is that when OG was on the floor, they couldn't really pressure him. They're not going to their defense is going to be terrible against Boston.
Yeah, it's
going to go back to being 30th.
Yeah, they're not going to try, and they're not going to try to defend. The good thing about Boston, for them at least, is Boston doesn't dominate the interior the way that the Knicks, you know, brought a ton of, because Boston plays a lot of five out. They like to leave the lane pretty wide open for their bigs, for their wings to drive and, you know, to drive and get to the basket. So there's not a lot of the offensive rebounds, like the way that the Knicks were able to dominate Indiana at times on the offensive glass and match them, if not surpass them in points in the paint. Boston's not going to do that. Boston's not going to challenge them there. They could care less about it. They want to chuck up threes. They're going to get up 40 of those things a game, and that's how they choose to win and play basketball games. So I think Indiana definitely has an advantage both in the paint, and again with the pace of play. But
you don't think that Boston can slow them down? That's interesting.
I think Boston can slow them down defensively. That's what I'm saying. When you play five out, if you're hitting your threes, everybody's back already, right? It's not like with the Knicks. If they miss a shot, they're all crashing the boards. So if Indiana gets the ball and pushes, there's literally like there's moments we watched in the series where the Knicks made a layup, and Indy took it right down the court and made a shot of their own. Like it happened like three times in game seven. So that's not going to happen so much against Boston because Boston's going to be shooting from outside anyway. So they'll already be back. So I think that to some degree, what we'll wind up seeing, in my opinion, is we'll see a game, maybe two, where Boston is not hitting their threes and Indy is able to get back.
That seems likely to you. Wow. Okay.
And run on them. It's happened twice already, right? It happened against Miami.
Yeah.
And it happened against Cleveland. So if it happens one, that'll be, to me, that's one game that Indy wins, and I think they'll win a game at home.
Okay. Well, I will say this. Boston is undefeated on the road, which is insane.
Which is very interesting.
So it doesn't really bode well for Indiana because that means they're coming back to Boston down 3-1, most likely. But then again, Boston could blow that game at the Garden and then go and beat them in game six in Indiana.
And that's what I think happens. I think they split the first two. Boston gets, I think they split the first two. Boston gets two in Indiana. Indiana gets five and then loses six.
I think the Celtics want to just kind of walk into the finals and beat the brakes off Indiana. And their best shot, the best part about Miles Turner being a three-point shooter or a younger version of Al Horford is that I think Al Horford can guard him and Turner's not going to be quick enough to just drive past him. He's not going to look to do that. So in the Pacers' biggest advantage really is Halliburton having to go off and not even McConnell, because they have Hauser and all these other guys coming off the bench that can deal with that.
Yeah.
That's why I feel that Boston's, if they lose more than one game, I'll be shocked. They're going to play down one game, but then the rest of the games are just going to kind of bomb them to death with threes. Now, if the Pacers lose, I can't see them losing each game by more than double digits, but we will see tomorrow at 8 p.m. I damn sure believe in that over, though. That over is going to get hit at every game. 220 is way too low.
Yeah, it's low. Yeah.
These teams averaged 240 points against each other during the regular season. But maybe Boston will be way more physical. I don't know. I doubt it, but I don't know.
I mean, Indy did show that they have the ability to handle physical play. And Carlisle showed that he will send 85 plays at the NBA league office if he needs to.
He is such a, you know, I'm tired of him. White Doc Rivers. Listen.
To let the world know that they're getting hit.
I got a little bit of a rant coming on later, but it is what it is. Dallas, Minnesota, final game, 8:30, comes on Wednesday. Going to miss every two games every other night. Dallas, Minnesota. Dallas is the underdog. Minnesota's the favorite, -4. They had to go to 7 with the former champs. Took them out at home after being down 20 in the beginning of the third. I love that quote from Michael Malone, who was talking about trash last year. Dallas got past OKC, a super young team. But Luka is hurt. And they're going to need a lot out of PJ Washington. I have Minnesota beating them in 6. Possibly another 7. But we will see. I do also have the over. Minnesota's defense is looking 2000 Raven-ish. It is scary good. They shut down the Denver Nuggets in the second half to 37 points. So I'm leaning real heavy on the series price for Minnesota at minus 175. Who do you got?
Yeah, I find this one interesting because I feel like you mentioned Luka being injured or Luka being hurt. Not injured because he's
his knee is his knee basically. If it was the regular season, he'd be sitting out. Like his knee is that bad, but he's just gonna play through it.
Yeah,
it's an Embiid situation minus cartilage tear, I guess.
And so, like as a result of that, that this is why I just find it interesting that so much of the money is coming in on Minnesota because. Is it solely because of the injury? Because
they beat the champs too, in their
house. and that right? Is that the Michael? That's why I said that's why it's weird for me. Is my question is like, was Denver? I never saw Denver as being you know unbeatable. Never saw
really.
That. No, never saw that. I believed they would make it through if they got the right draw, but I picked the Wolves to beat. To beat the Nuggets in the second round. I actually picked that. I picked the Wolves at six because I believed that the Wolves' defense was good enough to maintain, to keep Denver from like, you know, blowing the doors off. And I felt that obviously their offense, if they got enough from Karl-Anthony Towns, I thought that their offense could hang with Denver easily. Because I thought that the combination of what's the gentleman's name, Jaden McDaniels, and you know that the combination of their wing defense would neutralize Michael Porter Jr., who to me is the X factor for them, like that Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon's connection. It's because when those guys go off, then that's when you can't beat Denver. Like Joker's going to get his. Murray's going to find a way to get his. You can't let those other two guys really beat you. And I figured Minnesota would be able to just face guard them, man them up, and make it difficult for them to win. And as a result of that, they were going to win. They would win the series. So I'm picking Minnesota to win this. But I for whatever reason, I feel like Dallas is getting a little disrespected here. Dallas has been a very good team. Much better since the trade deadline when they traded for PJ Washington and they got bigger and better defensively. Jason Kidd has these dudes playing well. Luka's still Luka. As long as he's out there, he's a threat. So I'm saying that this is going seven. I think this goes seven. I think Minnesota, Dallas goes seven. I hope it goes seven because I think this is a fascinating series and it might be the most fascinating. It might be more fascinating than the NBA Finals.
What about Dallas gives you such hopes or such belief in them?
I like I said, I think
because their first round series was pretty easy. In fairness, you know, the Clippers.
Well, they played the Clippers and Kawhi was out for a good stretch of that.
Yeah.
But I think they would have beaten. I think honestly, think they would have beaten a healthy Clippers team anyway. Because I just didn't you know don't believe in Harden in the playoffs, at all.
He had one good game, but yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. So I think they were going to beat the Clippers. I think, did you watch a lot of the Thunder series?
Yeah, I did. I watched them in the first round when they swept against New Orleans. I wanted to see if New Orleans could do something, and Zion was kind of out most of it, and then Ingram looked like trash. So yeah. I was kind of looking to see what Ingram, here he's getting traded. So I was kind of paying attention to that. But yeah.
Dallas was impressive in that series against OKC. You know,
they were
obviously, you know,
SGA, they were down game six.
Yeah. But obviously SGA did his thing and was able to, you know, he did what SGA does, but they defended well against everybody else. They knocked down shots when they needed to. And Kyrie was able to defer to Luka when necessary and take over when Luka gave it to him. So
PJ Washington really made the difference though.
He really did. He really did. I just think that they have Luka is obviously, you know, if he's good to go and even 80%, he's absolutely nightmare cover for anybody. Kyrie is Kyrie. We know what he's capable of doing. And we know that he's, you know, he comes up big in big moments, you know, in big situations. So I don't think that this is going to be an easy out for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think this team would have given Denver, I think this Mavericks team would have given Denver a 6 to 7 game series easily. And like I said, the main thing for me is the health of Luka. If Luka's good in terms of if he's 80% ready to go and he can get through the entire series, I see no reason to believe that Minnesota's going to cakewalk. And I
You
find
think
it
they're going to
very, very
play?
interesting that like Minnesota's being across the board, like everybody's betting them.
Who's guarding? Well, it's the thing that we know Luka can't really play defense for any sustained period of time. So who's guarding Ant Edwards? Right? Like,
Well,
that's what
again,
they're saying.
yeah. Who's guarding it,
And if
Edwards?
he could,
You're probably gonna put
Derek Jones,
not
right? Yeah.
Derek Jones or was this Alexander Walker?
Yeah. And then who
Who's
comes in and guards Towns?
Oh, you're
And
gonna
then
put
you
you're
have
gonna you're gonna
Gobert.
have you're gonna have the center. I mean, like you're not worried about Gobert scoring any points. And if he is
Okay.
scoring points, good. You know, that's a
Every
good thing.
game that he got lit up by, I will point out this, every game that he got lit up by Joker for like 30 or 40, whatever it was, like every single game, he was going 7 for 7 and 8 for 8 in those games on lobs and dunks, which was crazy to me. But it didn't matter because Luka was Luka. Jokic was getting like 15 or 13 assists, which was just insane. There's nobody to counter that here. So if they can't play him off the court by just going small, which still gives Minnesota an advantage because that means Towns is your five and he's still 7 feet. And Gafford is allegedly 7'1", but I don't see it because if Gafford's 7'1", he's the smallest 7'1" man I've ever seen in my life because he looked tiny next to Chet in terms of height wise.
Well, Chad is what, 7'4"? Seven
Seven
three or something
three.
like that.
But like at no point in his other career, did I remember him being in Washington and I don't remember him playing like he looked shorter than Mitchell Robinson. Let's put it like that when the Knicks would play Washington in the past couple of years. But those two, him and Derek Lively, are going to be huge. But are they going to be able to outplay Towns and Gobert? And then you have Naz Reid coming off the bench if they want to go small. So they still have, more big bodies to throw with them. So I think that PJ Washington is going to have an all-star level series for them to win. And that's not what I'm counting on. I'm counting on Kyrie and Luka getting theirs, and then everybody else kind of getting shut down, which is how they beat Denver.
Denver.
And Kyrie, had some really bad like single digit games in there where he scored 9 points or 15 points. And I was like, yeah, that's not gonna, I don't see them getting by Minnesota with that defense. But maybe I just have more faith in Minnesota's defense against Denver just going forward because they've been the number one defense all year. And they did shut down. They really shut homeboy down in the second half. And Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon just disappeared in game seven. So, and Aaron Gordon is not, he's no slouch. Like, he's been an
No.
all-star before. And Porter Jr., I think he was like 2 for 11.
Yeah, and not for nothing. They beat a Denver team that has, that it's again, it was a champion,
Yeah.
was the chemistry was there. Like they were a well-built, well-coached, well-structured team. They were the best possible opponent that they could get, and they beat them. And times they beat them soundly. Like it's not even like they beat them by 45 points in game six. Like they
Correct.
cooked them, right? There were moments where they just looked like they were leaps and bounds. They were head and shoulders above Denver.
Yeah.
And I think that there will be moments in this where they will look like they're head and shoulders above Dallas too. But they're still a young team. They're still not, this is still their first chance getting this far into the playoffs, getting this deep into the playoff run, and they're playing against an experienced Luka Doncic who's been here before. Obviously, Kyrie has a championship in his belt,
14 and 0 in closeout games.
and the rest of the guys on this team, they all play their role well. I will say that everybody on Dallas plays their role well, understands their role, understands what they're all about, what they need to be doing, and they go out there and they do it. So, we'll see if they can muster up the level of offense necessary to stay with Towns and Edwards. But I wouldn't be surprised if this series goes seven, especially if Luka is able to be Luka Doncic for long stretches of games. If he's hobbled in any way, shape, or form, then it's going to get ugly real quick, but
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. And also, I think they're going to be pressing him up and down the court. Jaden McDaniels is gonna. He had the quietest 23 points I've ever seen the other night. My man went 7 for 10 from the field and just kind of killed Denver in game seven. That was a fun game to watch. At least it brought me back because I was cheering for them over Denver because I just didn't want to see Denver win again. You know, kind of tired of Luka. If not, shouldn't say Luka. If Jokic is going to act like he's not pressed about being happy about winning the MVP and all these achievements, it's like, all right, send his ass home then. Let's see how he feels about that then. Send him home.
Well, yeah,
You want to act like you want to be here? Go home. Go be with your horses.
go exactly. Those horses need tending. He's
Yeah.
probably on a plane. He's probably on a plane now,
He's got
going to Las
50, 60
Vegas.
million. Yeah. He gets to fade off and he's not going to worry about it. That he'll go focus on the Olympics.
Yeah.
Which outside of this the NBA season, like this basketball season, international basketball, kind of looking forward to. Just kind of sucks.
So.
Brunson won't even be able to try out for the U.S. Olympic team as an alternate because he broke his hand. All right, that is it for
So just
us. What are you gonna say?
a quick note
Oh,
going to
Minnesota in
this.
five. I got.
Okay.
I got Minnesota.
I got Minnesota in seven.
Okay.
I think it's just going to be a well-played series. The season series, Minnesota's won the season series 3 games to 1. The last time they played was at the end of January. So they haven't played each other in what's that, 5 months, 4 months?
The last game was in January, so I haven't played them since they got PJ Washington.
Yes, they have not played them since prior to the trade deadline. And the only other the, yeah so yeah th that's pretty telling. This they're not going to see the same team that they saw during the regular season. And I think that's going to take some getting used to. And again, the Dallas took out the number one seed. Oklahoma City Thunder was the number one seed in this conference, and Dallas was able to take them down too. So give the Mavericks some credit. I know the Wolves are the hot team and everybody loves them, but give the Mavericks a little bit of credit for getting this far. And I think that they should give them a series. But yeah, go right ahead.
All right. So yeah, I got Nuggets. What's funny is a lot of people picked Thunder and Nuggets to win the finals. A lot of people actually predicted that. Nobody had Dallas. Very few people had Dallas or Minnesota winning. I am predicting right now the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to win the NBA title. It will be the sixth different champion in 6 years, going back to Toronto, the Lakers, then it was Milwaukee, then Golden State, Denver, and then this year. This has not happened since the 1970s, which people are pointing out. That's why the ratings are down, because nobody likes parity, which I find interesting because a lot of people love parity in the NFL because it gives your team a chance to rise up, like with Detroit last year making the NFC Championship game and everybody being like super happy about it, even most of the people in the country like rooting for them. And it felt as the further and further the Knicks got, everybody was rooting against them. Nobody really wanted to see them win yesterday because Stephen A was acting as Stephen A. I like how he jumped on the bandwagon at the end and then Ja Rule with the curse kissing the trophy. I was like, why is he popping up? Why is Firefest over here doing this to us?
I mean, I will say though, Minnesota, Anthony Edwards is the darling of the NBA world. He's the darling of the media world. Everybody loves
Yeah.
him. I mean, I've always liked Anthony Edwards, but Minnesota feels like the feel good story. I think as a Knicks fan, I don't want to see the Minnesota Timberwolves win. Not because it's any slouch. I don't want to see the
Why?
Minnesota Timberwolves win a championship before the Knicks do. Like that's
What?
just
They've
not.
never won. They've been in
I
the
don't
league since
care.
'88.
And as far as my birth is concerned, the Knicks have never won either. I don't care about the 70s. 70s, like I wasn't born in the 70s.
Well, in
So
that
as far as
case,
I'm concerned, the Knicks don't got none either. So if you don't got one, you didn't get one.
three expansion teams have won since, Milwaukee, Denver, and Miami. Sometimes you just get the number
Toronto.
one overall pick enough times, like Minnesota, and you build a team. It just works out that way.
Toronto.
Yeah,
Yeah, Toronto
Toronto.
did.
Listen, people always talk about Toronto's title being lucky because everybody on Golden State got hurt. Oh well, everybody on New York's Knicks got hurt. Indiana Pacers moved on. Sometimes it be is like that. That's what
You
it
know
is.
what? In a way, I want, like I said, in a way, I want Minnesota to win because what else do they have to cheer for over there?
Oh, the Vikings, but hey.
Yeah, okay.
They got rid of Kirk Cousins.
So they're cheering that? No. But the on the flip side of things, it just kind of it feels weird. The Minnesota Timberwolves winning a championship. That just feels weird. It just feels odd.
And then the Texas Rangers won a title. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never thought I'd
That
see
would,
that
and
in
that felt
baseball.
odd too. That felt odd too.
I didn't know they've never won. That's how little I pay attention to baseball. I was just happy that they beat. I was like, just beat the Astros. That's all I care about. I don't even care who wins the World Series. I just said, don't let the Astros win again. Those cheating bastards.
I said the same thing. Didn't want
That
he did
was
not
it.
like Dusty Baker. I didn't want them to win.
He got his ring. He can retire.
He sure did.
Keep that. Keep spending that money. Yeah, so that's it for us. I have a couple. Do I have any shout outs? I have a couple of shout outs. Shout out to the New York Knicks. Shout out to Isaiah Hartenstein, Josh Hart, and all of them guys. Shout out to Josh Hart for hitting those overs on the rebounds, getting 17 rebounds a game the entire Philadelphia series, which was nuts. Shout out to Dante DiVincenzo putting up 38 in game seven. That was impressive. Like, this guy is, he signed a, we got him on a cheap contract. I almost feel bad for him, but he's making $9 million a year, so he'll be all right.
I'm about to say he's okay.
And shout out to my Chicago Bulls, Caleb Williams.
You
Gonna
mean
put
the
in a big
Bears?
season.
You mean the
Huh?
Chicago Bears?
What did
Sorry,
I
I said
say? Oh, my
Chicago
Chicago
Bulls.
Bears. Nah, damn the Bulls. Don't really care about them. My Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams. And shout out to the Liberty for putting Caitlin Clark on her ass a couple times. I really enjoyed that. And putting paws on her and showing her this ain't gonna be easy. You're playing against grown women here who are way better than you. And to everybody online, including Luther Campbell, who oddly was like, they need to make it easier for her. They're messing up their own money. What are they supposed to just let her win? That sounds ridiculous. They didn't do that for Michael Jordan in the NBA even. He went through a hard, his first 4 years were terrible. He was putting up a bunch of points, but his team was getting blown out. That game that he scored 63 points in, they lost by 15. Think about that. This man scored 63 points in a playoff game and they lost by 15. So this idea that they should make it easier for eight teams make the playoffs. It's a 12-team league. She's on the worst team because they were the worst team for a while. They've had the number one pick back-to-back seasons, Aaliyah Boston and her. So they'll figure it out. They still haven't won a game yet. But the problem is they start with the five or six hardest teams in the league. They're still undefeated, or still completely defeated, I should say. They're 0-4 now, but they got 36 more games to go. So there's a chance they'll be better than they were last year. Caitlin will figure it out over the course of the season. And the fact that they don't really have like 6 months to get ready like they do in the NBA, they're at a disadvantage. They're not strong enough. They don't have enough time to rest and recover. So it is what it is. We will see how it goes for them. But shout out to my Liberty and Sabrina INSQ. Lighten her up from deep. I was proud of that. Shout out to her and them girls. Malik.
Yeah, just to piggyback on that, everybody talking about what's going on with the feet, and Caitlin Clark hurt. I believe she hurt her ankle in
Oh yeah, wait,
this
hold on,
game.
one more. And Paul Pierce snapping on Jalen Brunson's jersey. We're not here for that disrespect, my guy. You've lived off of one ring more than Rick Carlisle, who is the White Doc Rivers. That man hadn't won a playoff series since 2011 when he won with Dallas. Which is why Dallas ran him up out of the paint, and now Luka's finally getting back to the conference finals. And also, you were the same fool who didn't want to play Brunson, which probably would have got you to the finals against the Suns. But you're such a great coach, so I'll leave that there. It's your lucky ass. Go ahead.
Paul Pierce had a great, fantastic, huge, great NBA career.
Nope, not here for all of that.
But ever since he's retired, he's been Meek Mill across the entire NBA sphere. He just keeps getting sunned and sunned and sunned across the entire,
He's making me
everybody
laugh for
suns
all the
him.
wild stuff he does.
He really does. But yeah, going back to the WNBA, I mean, Caitlin Clark, they're 0-4. She's played the Connecticut Sun twice and the New York Liberty twice. two of the top three teams in the entire WNBA, regardless of
playing
conference.
In the Eastern Conference Finals.
Like, you might as well just have them play the Aces next. Like there's like just go ahead and play the Aces. Let's let's get it all out the way. Have them play all their games. Have her play all of her the best games against the best teams at the very beginning of the season, so the Fever can start out 0-9, but they get all these ratings. And this is the thing that actually did bother me about this, because to me, this is a ratings thing, right?
Well, yeah. They're playing the biggest markets first.
Right. They're going to play the biggest markets first to put her on TV, get her, and then put it side by side with the NBA playoffs, so that people are watching these games, because they know come the, you know, the dog days of summer, you know, when nobody's paying attention to this stuff,
well,
you know,
they will.
But I'm just saying, like, that they want to cash in right now.
Yeah.
Eyes are on basketball, eyes are on the NBA. So they're throwing her to the wolves. I think she will be much, much better as the season goes along. And as these casual fans who are only watching because Caitlin Clark's name is still hot, the casual fans will step away. They'll stop paying attention. And that's when Caitlin Clark will do her thing. So shout out to you know, to the WNBA for this is their 28th season, and shout out to Caitlin Clark for just manning up again and just going woman up and just, you know, taking your licks early and often. If it doesn't make you better, then you're not the competitor that I thought you were, but I'm pretty sure that you are the competitor that I thought you were, and it's gonna make you better, and you're gonna be better because of it. Shout out to this is weird. Shout out to the police officers that arrested Scottie Scheffler a few days ago. Okay.
Why shout out the cops?
Scottie Scheffler has to learn that you have to pay attention to the police. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
Pay attention and listen to the damn police. We don't care who you are.
Wow.
Number one golfer in the world. You can be arrested and do perp walk just like anybody else. Tiger Woods never did the perp walk. Scottie Scheffler, he did the perp walk, but there was no TV. If Tiger Woods got arrested, we still have some mugshots of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
But he didn't do the perp walk on TV. It wasn't broadcast on ESPN. That was hilarious. It was great. And I'm not saying that contributed to Scheffler not winning the PGA championship.
It rattled probably. A little rattled.
It could have. But he wasn't lead. It's not like he was leading at the time, right? I do love the fact, like I said, shout out to the police. I love the fact that one of the ESPN guys reported that the police officer, when they were arresting him, they had to go to the ESPN reporter and say, "Who is that guy that we just arrested?"
That's right.
The guy's like, it's the number one golfer in the world. He's like, oh, okay. Well, he's still getting arrested, but I'm just curious to know who the hell he is, because you guys
he did drag me. A cop, man. He did drag a cop 10
yards.
Dragged
him like 20 yards.
I like how you say that, like, that's not a big deal. Or how many yards have you been dragged by a car before?
No, I'm just saying he dragged him like 20. No, I'm saying that is
walk
a big
it
deal.
Off.
He dragged him like 20 yards in the car. Like, yes, you're gonna get arrested, homie.
Yeah.
Sorry. You cannot drag a cop in your car for 20 feet and then get out of it and go, yeah, I didn't hear you, and think that you're not going to get arrested. No, you're going to jail. Okay, you're going to get arraigned. And they just pushed the arraignment back to June 3rd. So yeah, shout out to the cops for handling business against them. Shout out to my I think I told you guys this, my neighbor's son. You know, one of my neighbor's son, a friend of mine now that I would, okay, not the son, but the father is a friend of mine. Quentin Newsom, former cornerback for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, signed a free agent deal with the Denver Broncos.
Ooh.
So shout out to him.
Congratulations on being in the league.
He's joined that team and he's out there now. And, you know, he's out there doing in rookie camp. And I can't wait to hear everything that you know, I can't wait to hear the stories when you come back and hanging out with your dad, and, you know, let me know like how things are, you know, how things are going, because it's interesting deal. So shout out to you for, you know, following through with your NFL dream, and everybody that followed through and got to their NFL dream, all of the rookies that have been drafted into the NFL. You know, shout out to all of you, and I hope everything's going well.
Shout out Tory Taylor, punt god.
Oh, the punt god, another punt god? We got another punt god.
Oh, he's the Iowa punter. My man was like, listen, he was their whole offense. He was flipping the field.
Well, that's
he's that dude. They would cheer for him at
that's
Iowa.
That's not good when you're
they don't have offense.
It's not exactly their best offense. If their best offense was the punt game, that's not a good thing.
Now he's in the pros on the Bears. Got another advantage.
And last but not least, shout out to Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets for riding mediocrity to 6 primetime games in the upcoming NFL season. And making and pissing off everybody in the process,
yeah.
And people second guessing whether or not they want to keep their NFL Sunday ticket packages because they don't want to have to watch the Jets 6 times over.
NFL Sunday ticket? Why? They're going to be on primetime anyway.
If this isn't ESPN and the NFL trying to cash in on the last good season of Aaron Rodgers' career, like this is exactly what it looks like.
Hey. How do you feel about having to get like 6 different streaming services now to possibly watch most of the games?
You know what the messed up thing is? I realized that I already had them. You know, that was the worst part. The bad part wasn't having to sign up with 6 different streaming services. The worst part was realizing that you already had 6 different streaming services and you weren't being bothered by this.
So you have YouTube TV and so you essentially have cable anyway, and that.
I always had YouTube TV. I've had YouTube TV since 2021. Okay.
Gotcha.
And yeah, because we invested in YouTube TV once we found out that we couldn't get Verizon Fios in Georgia. And we're like, we couldn't get like cable, like our regular cable setup. And I found
you're still on Bell South down there. You're on Errol's.
So I've had YouTube TV, had Netflix forever. Everybody has Netflix. And then like by virtue of having, an Amazon Prime account,
mm-hmm.
like for you get
Prime
shipping,
for free. Yeah.
You get Prime Video for free. So like a lot of these ones, like I don't even know how I got Peacock. I got it. I don't know how. I have no idea how I please don't shut me off, guys. I just go to there and every once in a while I find something that I want to watch and then I'm always surprised that it actually works.
You know, you don't even know if you're paying for that, do you?
I must be paying. It's like $5. I must be paying for it somehow. I have no idea how.
All right.
So, like I said, I've got all the services anyway. So, shit, I might as well just watch the games, right?
Malik is plugged in. He's the guy that's going to pay everybody's $39.99 team stream fee, I guess.
Hey, the MLB network just lowered their streaming package to $70 for the remainder of the year.
Because half the teams suck. Who else wants to watch 100 more games of the White Sox?
Nobody. And that's why I'll just watch the Yankees series. Thank you very much.
Or the Marlins, for that matter. I think they're on pace to win like 38 games this year somehow. All right. I'm not going to pretend like I pay attention to baseball, but I know the Yankees are up. I hope they sign Juan Soto. I think he's looking for like $500 million, but good luck with that. He is like 25 years old.
He might win MVP this year. If he wins, like that's it.
He better win the goddamn World Series. He is launching home runs at a record rate. So that is pretty cool to watch. It is nice to see the highlights. I'm not going to sit here and act like I watch baseball. I haven't watched an inning of baseball all year. But shout out to them. And, yeah, we're out. Those are our picks. Follow us. Hopefully, LeVon will be back next week. And we're going to have one last show before the NBA Finals, and then we're out. Peace.
Peace.